Indeed, it is part of the bedrock of our faith. For God so loved the world that he sent his son, Jesus. It comes from one of the most popular verses in the scriptures, John 3:16. Sort of pull back from last Sunday the notion that it's important for us to know the story of the scriptures and to hear the bigger picture rather than just to pull one verse or another. We recognize that verse, John 3:16. It's the verse of major league sports. Like you see it on signs and on people's face paint, but what about John 3:17 or 3:15 or all of John 3, which we're going to read a bit of in just a minute? That helps tell us the story. Do you know that that verse is a statement by Jesus in a conversation with Nicodemus? And this conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus is going to be part of our Lenten series here at Chamblee that we are calling Recreating Faith, acknowledging many places in the scriptures where Jesus recreates our faith. And at the same time, acknowledging that faith recreates us in an ongoing kind of way throughout our lives. And so we're recreating faith this Lenten season. And seasons are important. I mean, there's nothing to remind you about the change of seasons quite like a time change, particularly this one. But they're important. Seasons are important in our lives to have those changes, those rhythms. That's why my aunt said that she moved back to North Georgia from South Florida. She missed the seasons. The seasons have a way of moving us through our year and through our years. And this season in particular of Lent, that recenters us, refocuses us in our faith, and remakes us, reforms us, reshapes us. Last week, we started this Lenten series of messages looking at how Jesus recreated the scriptures when he was led out into the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one. And today, we're going to look at how Jesus recreates birth in the conversation that he has with Nicodemus that's found in John chapter 3. So I want to read for us John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. It's the beginning of the story of the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus that contains the verse John 3:16 that everyone's so familiar with. Maybe this week, if you want something to read in the scriptures, you would read John chapter 3. I'll read the first 9 verses for us this morning, but I encourage you to go and read the rest of the story that's contained there. So here's John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said, "How are these things possible?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's significant when this story starts that the writer tells us Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and he reiterates a Jewish leader. Immediately, we're being told something about Nicodemus, not just about him personally, but about his place and his role in the community. A Pharisee would have been a very highly respected, important person, particularly in religious circles, but the religious circles and the cultural circles in those days, particularly in Judaism, were one and the same. Nicodemus would have been known as an educated, thoughtful, important person. And the author reiterates, he was a Jewish leader. He was well respected in his community by those around him, his peers. And we also know from reading the stories about Jesus that Jesus and the Pharisees didn't always see eye to eye. Jesus and much of the leaders of the Jewish people didn't always see eye to eye. In fact, often things that he said rubbed them the wrong way and caused a lot of consternation. And really, it's what led to his eventual arrest, trial, and crucifixion, is the places and the ways that not only was he disagreeing with the leaders, but even calling them to task a little bit. And so we know that Nicodemus was part of a group in his culture as a dignified, important leader who didn't necessarily get along with Jesus. And so then it's significant that this person, this Pharisee, this Jewish leader, Nicodemus, would then come to Jesus and say, "Rabbi," which means teacher. It's a way of showing respect to somebody who has authority. He comes to Jesus and he says, "Rabbi, surely the presence of God is with you." Just the miraculous signs that you do and the things that you're teaching, the way that you're living. Something's going on with you. I'm not supposed to, but I think you're legit. And he comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness, out of that place of cultural, social significance and importance, respect. As a leader, he doesn't want to be seen fraternizing with this religious rebel. But there's something about Jesus that not only captured his attention, but his imagination. And he had to know more. So he goes to him at night where nobody can see him, where it's safe for him to say, "You know what? In my circles that I run in, the people that I work with, the people in my neighborhood, they wouldn't respect me or they'd think less of me if they knew that, I don't know, I think there's something to this Jesus guy." So he comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness and says, "I want to know more." There's something about those nighttime conversations too. You ever had one of those late night talks with somebody or with a group of people? I don't know what the circumstance might have been for you. I've had them over the years. But something about when it gets later in the evening, I don't know if we just let our guard down a little bit or we're tired from the day or maybe we've been enjoying something, a celebration together. And there's a way sometimes of those nighttime talks to get real, to get honest. Maybe even a little silly or, you know, outlandish seeming. I feel like when I was in college, we solved all the world's problems after midnight. I don't know. I mean, I don't remember a lot of the solutions, but I know that we did it. So here's this nighttime talk between Nicodemus and Jesus. And Nicodemus says, "I think I believe in you." And Jesus' answer to him blows Nicodemus's mind and has the potential to blow mine and yours too if we'll let him. Because in order for Jesus to open up for Nicodemus what it means to experience the kingdom of God, Jesus invokes the experience of being born. Do you remember being born? Anybody? No, right? No. Maybe you know stories of your birth. You know, they tell you how long it took or how much you weighed or what was going on at the time in the family or in the world, or they knew something about you right away, or maybe you remember the experience of giving birth. Bless you, each and every one of you. But that's not what this is about. This is about being born. Jesus invokes for Nicodemus the image, the experience of being born, which none of us remember. We have no way of remembering that. But I wonder what it was like. Use your imagination for a second. I just wonder what it was like to arrive into the world. So all the stuff going through your head right now is what was going through Nicodemus's head when Jesus said, experiencing the kingdom of God is like being born. Born anew. My youngest son, Aaron, he's 11. He introduced me to a song. So he's now got a playlist on Spotify. He's that age. And he introduced me to a song called Birthday Party by a band called AJR. Highly recommend it. Fun tune, first of all. Second of all, it's really impressive if you listen to the song and listen to the lyrics, Birthday Party. The premise of the song is it's written from the perspective of a baby who's just been born. The lyrics are so cool. I'm going to read you some of them. It says, thank you for coming to my birthday party. I am 1 minute old today. And everything's going great. Some of the other lyrics. I bet this Instagram's a load of fun. It's best to show your best to everyone. I bet that never bites us in the bum. I am 1 minute old today. And my minute's been going great. And I hope it stays that way. Some of the other lyrics. It's nice to finally meet my relatives. I bet I'll never outgrow all my friends. I bet I'll see a female president. Not this year. Yeah, I can tell this life will be a cinch, and that's just how it is. I just love the imagery of that song, the perspective of somebody who's just been born and arriving into the world. And it sounds so full of hope and anticipation, innocence. Now, of course, a big part of that experience of being born is the crying. Lots of crying. That stops eventually or changes. But of course there's crying to go from one way of being into another. To have your whole existence and environment changed on you like that. But yet, this song opens up all the hope that exists when you're born. All the possibilities, everything that you could learn and experience and enjoy. Now, you might also say the song sounds a little naive. Which is an interesting word. We use that word oftentimes with a negative connotation. Like to be naive means to be inexperienced or ignorant. But really, that's not what it means at its root. I mean, the word naive comes from the Latin word for native. Really, to be naive just means to be in your natural state. To be the way you were originally. Like your inherent, innate self. To be naive is to be as you were created. I think there's something to when Jesus recreates for us the image of being born anew. That opens up for us what it might look like to be willing to be a little naive, filled with hope and expectation for joy and goodness. And our being born, it's a part of the salvation story. Jesus' birth is a part of our baptismal covenant liturgy. Whenever we baptize someone, often a newborn child, we pray a thanksgiving over the water. And when we pray over the water, we acknowledge God's acts of salvation down through history, from the beginning of time and creation that we've experienced through water. And our liturgy says, even names Jesus' birth, that Jesus was nurtured in the water of a womb. In our very baptismal covenant, we connect our birth with Jesus' birth. We connect our baptism with Jesus' baptism. We connect our being born anew with Jesus' being reborn to life, so that we might know life and have life and experience life new and to its fullest. So in this conversation, when Jesus says the experience of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like being born anew, he blows Nicodemus' mind a little bit. Nicodemus says, how is this even possible? What a powerful question from someone who's got a position, a place, status, respect. What a question for someone who might say, how is it even possible? For where I am in life, for what I know, for what I've experienced, for who I am, how is it even possible for me to be born anew? Jesus, is it even possible for me now, where I'm at in life, to experience the newness of life? Like a child being born would experience it. And Jesus reiterates, for anyone to be born anew, which the language there is different in different translations. Some translations say to be born anew, like the one we read. Some say to be born again. Some say to be born from above. I appreciate the comments of Anna Carter Florence about that language, and just the fact that we ought be careful about how we use that language. Born again is a common phrase that gets used a lot, and what I mean is that we ought be careful how we use that language in ways that might divide us. To say we are the born again, are you born again? If you are, then you're with us. Or, oh no, that guy, he's one of those born again people. He's with them. When that's not at all what Jesus meant or what Jesus was doing, when he called Nicodemus to be born anew, to be born from above, to be born again, it wasn't to separate or segment out or say us and them. It was an invitation Jesus was issuing to Nicodemus and to everyone everywhere to know new life. To be born from above, from the original, from the source, back to the start, to experience a birth. And Nicodemus says, how is that even possible? God bless Nicodemus and his literal mind that says, is it even possible? Jesus, how does an adult be born again, to re-enter their mother's womb and be born? That makes no sense. Oh, when we read the words of Jesus or the scriptures and we take them literally and go, well, I can't make any sense of that. And Jesus said, to be born anew is to be born of the water and the Spirit. And We've already addressed the water birth, that sort of natural part of birth, but then there's born of the Spirit. Jesus calls Nicodemus and all of us to be born anew, to be born of the Spirit, to be born from above, to experience the Spirit of God communing with our spirits, to open up for us the possibilities, the hope, the wonder, the beauty of life with Jesus. Now, today, right where we are, regardless of where we've been or what we've done or what's going on or what we're thinking or where our doubts are, or what our community looks like or what people might think of us, that we would experience being born of the Spirit of God. I think one of the best places to look for the evidence of the Spirit of God communing with our spirit is the fruit of the Spirit that's listed later in the New Testament: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control. I think it's no accident that in the list of those fruits of the Spirit, they're bookended by love and joy and self-control. As the evidence of the Spirit of God with our spirits. And there's Nicodemus again. How is this even possible for me? What a great Lenten question. Oh God, Jesus, how is this even possible for me? And so Jesus, again, to help Nicodemus understand, says, Nicodemus, the Spirit of God is like the wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going, but we sure can feel it. And I think there's something in Nicodemus that's in all of us that, yes, we can try to explain it, analyze it, control it, or we can tilt our head back, open our arms wide, close our eyes, and be born anew with the Spirit of God today and every day. Something happens in life as you grow. You go from being that child that's just coming into the world full of anticipation and hope. And life happens. The years happen. And sometimes it feels like life just beats it out of you. And yet there's the power of the invitation of Jesus to experience again and again new life. Which I want to make a special point about that for our folks who are going on the spiritual life retreat this weekend. In a minute, we're going to have a prayer for them, but I don't know if you know this. We got 24 teenagers, middle and high schoolers, that are going to Camp Glisten in Dahlonega this coming weekend for the spiritual life retreat, and 6 adults. So we're going to pray for all of them in just a minute. But for the folks who are going on that trip, and if you got somebody going on that trip, yeah, life sometimes can make it real hard to know that newness, to know the hope and the joy and the expectation, the anticipation of what God will do. It's all of our prayers. I'll say on behalf of the church that everybody who's going on that trip would know the newness of what God is doing, that you would know what it feels like to experience that with the Spirit of God. So I want us to have a prayer for those folks who are going. I'm going to ask Will Goodwin, our youth minister, and Stephen Shirk, who is the chair of our youth council, to come forward. And Stephen's going to offer a prayer for the team that's going to the spiritual life retreat. And if you're going, or if somebody you know is going, and you want to stand with them, I'd just like to ask you to stand right now. So if you're going on the Spiritual Life Retreat this coming weekend, or if you have somebody who's going, I want to invite you to stand. And Stephen is going to pray for these folks. And we did the same thing at 9 o'clock. And so this prayer is for you all and everybody who's going with you. Stephen.
Let's pray real quick. God, Father, hear our prayer. For these youth that embark on spiritual retreat, and for the volunteers that guide them, for the staff that will teach them, for this congregation that supports them, and for this world that needs them. Father, we ask you, open our eyes that we may recognize your presence, that you open our minds and we may acknowledge your presence, you open our hearts that we may experience your presence. Create in each one of us a pure heart, and put a new and right spirit within us, a spirit willing to shed that which trips us up, a spirit willing to step out unto uncertain waters, a spirit willing to say, I am not afraid. For in this place, in Christ, we know you, God, will never leave or abandon us. And so let us rejoice and give thanks to you, God, as we enter into fellowship, as we enter the safety of your holy ground. And let us rejoice, for we know your love is steadfast and endures forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you all. And will you help me celebrate with them what they're anticipating to get to experience this weekend? And at the same time, celebrate being a part of a church that does something like this. When you give, this is part of what you give to, is to send these 24 teenagers to a spiritual life retreat weekend up at Camp Glisson, and to support those six adults that are going with them. And I want to say, if you're not a part of a church, if you don't have a church that you call home, if you haven't joined as a member somewhere, and you'd like to be a part of a community of faith that is experiencing the newness of life in Jesus together, I want to invite you to consider Chambly to be that place for you. In fact, in a few Sundays, on March 29th, we're going to have a joining Sunday. We've got several people who've expressed interest and are going to be joining our church as members on that day. And so if you're not a member of this church and you would like to be, I want to encourage you to consider putting that date on your calendar and get in touch with me or Pastor Stacy or Linda King. Her information's in the bulletin. And we'll be sure to include you and we'll celebrate you as you become a member of this church. But I want you to know that that invitation is open to you so that we can all be a part of this together. Before we leave, I want to ask if we could sing one more song together. We're going to worship God as we stand and sing, To God Be the Glory.